Well, in saving energy, we also shut down some very, very vital, important systems as well. One of those is the immune system. The immune system and the adrenal system are both actually protection systems, but they protect us from different things. The adrenal system protects us from threats outside of our body. The immune system protects us from threats that enter into our body, threats such as virus or bacteria or parasites that would like to take over the operation of our system and feed off of us. These elements are inhibited or restricted through the action of the immune system. But if I recognize that my stresses are more important in the outside world than the stresses I perceive in the internal world, that's when I'm activating my HPA axis. That's when I'm releasing the adrenal stress hormones, and the stress hormones are encouraging protection from outside threats. Well, to allocate all the energy it can, the system will inhibit the action of the immune system. The body recognizes the immune system uses tremendous quantities of energy to carry out its protection functions. Yet if I'm running away from a saber-toothed tiger and I'm having a bacterial infection, my central nervous system and my intelligence system will easily recognize that perhaps we ought to put all the money into running away from the tiger, and if we survive, then we can actually go fund that immune system. Well, this is actually what happens, because when we activate the adrenal hormones, the stress hormones don't only cause the blood to go from the viscera to the periphery, the stress hormones also shut off the immune system. Interesting, this is a fact that has been known by the medical profession for a long time, and they actually use stress hormones very specifically for this function when they're busy transplanting organs and tissues into a recipient. Because the organs and tissues of the transplant are foreign tissues, the recipient's immune system would immediately set about to eliminate the foreign invasive transplanted cells, the tissues and organs that the doctor provided to the recipient. Well, if we don't want the immune system to reject the organs, then what you would really like to do is restrict or reduce or inhibit the immune system. This is exactly why recipients of grafted tissue receive stress hormones, because when they receive them, it inhibits the activity of their immune system and allows the graft to take and allows them to maintain the foreign tissue. Yes, but this is a very unique biological consideration in an experimental situation at that. What does it mean in regard to stress hormones in our everyday life and the presence of these stress hormones interfering with our immune system? And it goes like this, that all of us are right now infected with almost all the viruses and bacteria and pathogens that affect humans. I could take a blood sample out of every one of you right now, no matter how healthy you feel, I will show you that you have organisms in your blood. Well, it's very interesting because biologists are very familiar with these organisms. In fact, they call them collectively opportunistic organisms, meaning this, you give them the opportunity and they'll take over. If you are in a state of good health and a state of growth, you are supporting the operation of the immune system, and the immune system will keep a lid on these invasive organisms. While it might not be able to kill all of the organisms, it certainly can restrict their growth and limit their proliferation. And this keeps a lid on those opportunistic organisms from really impacting us. However, once we start to get into a stressful environment, then what happens is the stress hormones from the adrenal gland start to inhibit the immune system. When the immune system operation is interfered with, these invasive organisms then get the opportunity to start proliferating and taking over, which basically says this. Most people, when they're in a happy state of life, are very, very healthy. But once they start to get stressed, they start to get sick. Some people say, well, I just caught something when I was stressed. But the truth is more likely you already had something, and now that you're stressed, you remove the cover of the immune system by inhibiting its action through stress hormones. So all of a sudden you start to realize the very debilitating character of stress, that stress shuts down our growth mechanisms. The longer we're under stress, the more we're inhibiting the action of the viscera. That stress shuts down the immune system because the more we're concerned of fears from the outside, the more we reduce the function of the internal protection mechanism just to allocate its energy to be used for the external threat. And well, if that's not bad enough, there's actually what I refer to as the insult to injury. There's a third character of the stress response mediated by the HPA axis. And that is the following. Think about it this way. If you are in a fight or flight response, Do you think you would rely on reflex behavior or conscious information processing to deal with the fight or flight response? The answer is obvious. Reflex behavior, because it's absolutely faster and more powerful and able to control us rather than conscious thinking. Conscious thinking is a slow process. While you'd be sitting there as your car is going out of control in your middle of an accident, if it was controlled by consciousness, you might hear yourself going, rather than relying on that intelligence to run the car, when you're in a stress response, the stress hormones cause the blood vessels in the forebrain, the conscious part of the brain, to constrict, just as the stress hormones causes the constriction of the blood vessels in the viscera. And just as when the visceral blood vessels are constricted, visceral function stops because it's not being nourished by blood, in a stressful situation, when we constrict the blood vessels in the forebrain, we inhibit conscious thinking. But in the process, the blood is then preferentially sent from the forebrain to the hindbrain, where we're really nourishing the reflex centers. So when we're in a stress response, we primarily operate from hindbrain reflex mechanisms and inhibit forebrain consciousness, which in the end simply says this: when we're in stress, we're less intelligent, because at that point, we're not using intelligence, we're just using reflexive behavior. So these are three very big detriments to our normal physiology. But this isn't a detriment of the way evolution designed the system, because evolution designed the system only to use the stress response at certain periods and only for short periods of our lives. To run away from that saber-toothed tiger, for example. Once you got away from that tiger, then you automatically go back into the growth mechanisms to nourish yourself and to maintain your life. If another tiger shows up, you run until you get away, and then you go back into the growth mechanism again. So basically, what the information really reveals is this: under normal evolution, a stress response is usually a very restricted response only used for short periods of time. But if you look at the world that we live in today, you see, we live in a world where stress is the key word. Everything is stressful. The jobs are stressful. The environment's stressful. The food's stressful. What we're beginning to realize is while evolution designed the stress system to be only used for short periods of time and short spurts and pulses, we are now operating from stress, most of us, 24/7, 365. This has caused a great debilitation of health of the individual and of the population. We see it throughout the entire population in regard to the crisis in healthcare of so many people being sick for so long. And the fact is, in our old perception, the perception that is actually conventional allopathic medicine today, we look at a sick body as a Newtonian physical mechanism whose chemistry is off, and that we can fix a sick body by just throwing in drugs. However, the new biology based on perception and epigenetics reveals that it's not the machine that's wrong. It's the environment and our perception of the environment that is caustic. Interestingly, it takes us back to that very first day I did a cell culture and exactly what Irv Koenigsberg warned me of. He said, if the cell isn't healthy, before you try to change the cell, look at the conditions of the environment. And this is exactly where we should be today because, as I said, we are cells incarnate. Even though we're comprised of 50 trillion cells, we actually represent a composite of 50 trillion cells living as one giant cell. And the significance is when we get sick, while we have a tendency to say, well, let's fix your physical body, the reality of Irv's warning comes to play here and says, before you fix that physical body, first, consider the nature of perceptions, because perceptions are the things that primarily distort the normal functioning and operation of the machine. And I refer back again to the fact that I said the operation of the biology is due to the signals and the proteins. And then remember, only a very small percentage of people can claim that any of their dysfunctions in life are due to the proteins, that then the vast majority of us have to recognize it's the signaling that is a responsible element. Just as Irv said, it's the signaling from the environment, our perception from the environment, that controls the status of our health. Yet, while this is very interesting information, in the end, it is most empowering. Because again, it says, if you really want to control your biology interior health, as well as your exterior reality, you have to recognize the power of your perceptions in shaping both your physiology and your life experiences.
This concludes CD 2 of The Biology of Belief. Our program continues with CD 3.